Welcome to Fracking and Health, Ask a Scientist. At the Endocrine Disruption Exchange, we've been studying the health impacts of unconventional oil and gas development, often referred to as fracking, since 2004. We know there are many outstanding questions about how fracking may affect your health. In these podcasts, our Executive Director, Carol Kwiatkowski, interviews scientists to get answers to these questions. Go to tedx.org to submit your question.
Welcome to Episode 1, Is Our Food at Risk? Today, we're asking about the safety of irrigating crops with wastewater from unconventional oil and gas operations. This water can contain hundreds of chemicals, including chemicals pumped into the wells and chemicals released from the underground rock formation. Some wells generate millions of gallons of wastewater, and that wastewater is being repurposed for uses such as irrigating crops and watering livestock. I'm talking with Dr. Seth Shonkoff, Executive Director of the Science and Policy Organization, Physicians, Scientists, and Engineers for Healthy Energy. He's published numerous papers on oil and gas production, including very recently on topics such as hazardous chemicals in California oil fields and the lack of disclosure of chemicals present in wastewater. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Shonkoff. We have two specific questions for you today. First, how might contamination of food or farmland by chemicals from oil field wastewater affect human health?
So, in the field of environmental public health, there are differences between the sources of chemicals, the pathways through which chemicals can move through the environment, and the pathways through which people are exposed to them. And then finally, if people are exposed to the chemicals, how their bodies will react to that. In the issue of the reuse of oil and gas wastewater for things like agricultural irrigation and the watering of livestock, what we know right now is that there are quite a few naturally occurring and chemical additive chemical constituents that we need to be very cognizant of in terms of inputs to the agricultural system. What we know much less about is the degree to which these individual chemicals can or would be taken up into the edible portions of these crops or taken into the bodies of livestock. And so we know even less about how much people are being exposed to these chemicals through the food that they're eating, which has oil and gas, wastewater as part of the process. A good proportion of the information in the scientific literature that we can look to assess whether a chemical can be uptaken into a plant, for example, comes from the area of phytoremediation. Phyto being plant and remediation being to remediate something. So, for example, there's been a number of toxic waste sites, maybe contaminated with heavy metals or other types of chemicals, where people have gone and, you know, put plants into the soil to actually, on purpose, pull all of these contaminants out of the soil, and then they can take the plants and dispose of them elsewhere. So we know quite a bit about the chemical constituents and the heavy metals that have been targets of phytoremediation. And some of these chemicals and heavy metals are known to be in produced water from oil fields. But there's quite a few chemicals, especially the chemical additives, that we don't have very good information on that would require a significant amount of studying to be able to come up with clear guidelines, recommendations, and assessments of risk. And so that's kind of where the science drops off and where policy steps in. you know, how do you make these types of decisions about things like irrigating oil fields, irrigating agricultural food production with oil field wastewater in the face of significant scientific uncertainty? Those are critically important questions to explore.
That was a great segue to my next question, which was about whether there was political action being taken, for example, in California, where this is such a concern.
So, I would say that from a political action perspective, again, a growing body of concerned citizens and concerned NGOs are trying to educate the public around this. I would not necessarily put this into the political action category, but there has been an increased interest on the part of the scientific community to try and characterize and understand the various risks associated with this practice in California and beyond. And this has, all of these various factions and groups and actions put together has resulted in some modifications to the regulatory requirements promulgated by the water regulators in the state of California. There's been some tightening of at least the disclosure rules. Most recently, the Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board revamped one of the oil operators' permits for this practice and required that they monitor for a variety of chemical additives that they're using in the oil field, in the produced water and the wastewater that's headed for irrigation. There are still a number of problems with those requirements and the ability to generate information that can be easily understood and analyzed by independent researchers. But it is starting to move in the right direction. I will say that there's a pretty good analogy to what we're dealing with right now in the form of how California deals with the reuse of municipal wastewater, aka sewage. And while the reuse of sewage sounds, frankly disgusting, there is actually a very long process that California regulatory agencies went through to come to the final list of rules that people need to follow if they want to reuse municipal wastewater for other purposes. So again, sewage sounds disgusting, but we at least know what's in it, and we know what we need to take out to make it safe for different purposes. And that process took approximately 10 years with a variety of, well-qualified, independent scientific bodies looking deeply at various aspects of the issue, making recommendations. And we now have a fairly comprehensive, fairly reliable body of rules that ensure that this type of wastewater reuse is at acceptable risk levels for the population. We don't have that for oil field wastewater. This has been going on since the 1990s in at least one water district in the San Joaquin Valley. And the only requirements that have been with us since the 1990s have been that oil operators put the oil field wastewater through a walnut shell filter and then send it to the irrigation district. And as long as very light monitoring of mostly naturally occurring chemicals shows up at acceptable levels, you can go and irrigate the crops with it. But again, this does not include and has not included until very recently under certain circumstances, the monitoring for all of the chemicals used in oil fields that are likely to be in that produced water also. So in some ways, we are flying blind or with what I would argue, too much blinds. We're never going to know everything about everything. But there are some very clear categories of human health and environmental hazards that we need to know a whole lot more about before the scientific and the regulatory communities can and should deem that this is something that can be conducted safely.
Thank you, Dr. Shonkoff. We appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thank you for listening. TEDx is a nonprofit research institute funded by grants from private foundations and by donations from individuals who care about our health and the environment. Visit our website at tedx.org for more information on what we do, to submit a question for a scientist, or to make a donation.